The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Cincinnati.com beat writers, Paul Leonard Jr. and
Fletcher Page,
take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of The Walkout. No, this is not a replay of the previous seven times, because we didn't even have The Walkout then. Although it's going to sound like a lot of previous times that you've walked out of Paul Brown Stadium before. Paul Enner Jr., Fletcher Page, your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati.com, the Cincinnati Inquirer, as we leave PBS following Steelers 28, Bengals 21, same as it ever was.
It went exactly the way we said that we thought it would. I think that the Bengals are the better team, and I picked them to lose, and they did. And you thought that the Steelers would probably win, right? But you went with the...
I picked the Bengals and immediately regretted it. But here's the thing. Here's why this is so similar. We're walking out right now. Ben Roethlisberger causes heartbreak to the Bengals. Bengals frustrated in the locker room about beating themselves and shooting themselves in the foot. We've got Vontaze Burfict, dirty play, intent conversation that we have to have. Guys are injured everywhere. And the division is way up for grabs, and fans are frustrated by the team not being able to beat Pittsburgh. These things are just so repetitive. It's where this team is and where they have been. It's just very much similar to what we've seen in this series over the years. And that's why it's 7 in a row now and 10 of 11 go the Steelers' way.
Yeah, there was two different tracks for a couple of veteran guys in the locker room afterwards. Carlos Dunlap actually said, insanity. He called this rivalry and the results insanity because Cincinnati keeps doing the same things over and over again, the same results. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Dre Kirkpatrick said, we ain't changing nothing. So he felt
he wants to keep up the insanity, I guess.
I guess so. He felt like, well, both of them said that they felt like they had the better team and they just didn't win. And they've got to figure that out why. But their frustration just sort of was all over the place. I think Carlos had a more pointed, I'm not going to call it an agenda, but he seemed to be inferring something. Couldn't quite figure it out. But Dre didn't have an underlying message you had to decipher. Yeah. He was just frustrated.
Let's talk about the game-winning play and the entire draft. First of all, here's why this was different for me, and I actually think there is some optimism to take from this. I know a Bengal fan is like crying in the Bud Light right now and just like inconsolable about this whole Pittsburgh thing. Here's the thing: previous editions of this have been very meltdown oriented, and
yeah, this was not that.
This not only was this not that, they made the plays. They put in the spot. The offense went down the field. They'd gone 49 yards in the entire second half, and they went 75 yards in 9 plays, scored arguably too fast, but I'm not going to put that. The whole scored too fast thing is garbage and crap. Your defense has to make a stop. You have to get in the end zone somehow. Can you run down the play clock a little more in certain spots? Sure. But, I mean, the idea that they – look – we'd seen two goal line stands in this game earlier. that's a tough, you got to get the ball whenever you can. And they ran it, Mixon got it in. A buck 15, you got to make a stop on defense. And so what happens on the drive, you get the long ball to Juju Smith-Schuster that sets them up at the 31. Roethlisberger says after the game, they had the spot as the 32. Now, reminder time. Chris Boswell, 0 for 3 from 40-plus this year. People calling for his head in Pittsburgh. Tomlin had to tell us this week on the conference call he had no concerns about him. We don't normally ask about kickers.
But he's never missed here.
17-17 here. Sloppy, rainy, misty, whatever the hell it was at that point, day in this game. And when set up at the 31 with 15 seconds left, the Bengals dial up cover zero, bring everybody in the house, and leave the middle of the field wide open with Tony McCray and William Jackson running.
Hobbled William Jackson.
Very hobbled. Could barely get through the game. Over with Antonio Brown, able. It basically said we got to force something to happen in order to get them out of field goal range. Are we to believe that the future Hall of Fame quarterback Ben Roethlisberger was not going to be able to handle cover zero, not know to either throw it away or, I mean, maybe you get in there, you know he's going to have to jeopardize forcing Chris Boswell to kick 40 plus yards. That was your best chance of winning this game, was Chris Boswell missing from 42 or something. And you threw that away by leaving the entire field wide open. Did you know it was going to go for a touchdown? No, but you just keep them so it's a 40-something yarder and make them kick it. And not just throw that all to the wind, and huge risk to think that you're going to get home on that case and they're just going to, you're going to what? Force a sack or whatever. I mean, you've got to get back to the shotgun when you know he's thrown it immediately. If anything, just thrown it away. I hated the call, and it obviously was executed terribly.
Yeah, I think it was a bad call, executed poorly. And it's tough because we're not talking about personal fouls. We're not talking about Vontez going wild. And as try as he might, he did not get any personal fouls.
No.
Dig into that maybe later in the week.
He may get fined.
Right.
Or a suspension, I don't know.
That defense forced two stops, forced two field goals in the red zone in the second half.
Yeah.
The offense had the drive when it needed it. It wasn't necessarily good in the second half. But like you said, they made winning plays in the second half. And it kind of came down to one long play to Smith-Schuster, a defensive holding call on Dre.
Yep.
And then just sort of going, losing your mind on a bad play call, I believe, and not even touching Brown, their best player.
I mean, he's Antonio Brown. You have Tony McCray on him. I mean, you're setting yourself up asking Tony McCray with zero help anywhere.
And you can complain about the pick.
And the pick.
Well, you can complain about the lack of the call on a pick, but you're in a situation where you're manned up for that to work perfectly.
Yeah.
So it was just all around bad.
You set it up, and it's, you know, Carlos said that's what they do. That's the stuff that they do. And, you know, was it illegal? Maybe. Did they get away with the call? Maybe. But the thing is, like, you put yourself in a position to allow them to get a call like that. And, you know, Clayton Fedlund after the game, it's a crapshoot. It depends on who's reffing the game if you're even going to get that call. To me, in hindsight, it's clearly 20-20 on this. You know, if they run the cover zero blitz, how many times do you see cover zero blitz against good quarterbacks in the shotgun?
Work.
Honestly.
Oh, never.
Like, I mean, it's pretty rare, I would say. It's a risky thing to do. Ben Roethlisberger in that situation, if you hit him and he fumbles or a ball gets tipped up in the air, sure, you know, you're feeling great about it. What are the odds? What are the odds of that compared to what are the odds of Chris Boswell missing from 40-plus? I guarantee you Steelers fans are sitting there freaking out thinking they had to ship Boswell out there.
What's the one thing a Steelers fan would not have wanted in that situation?
Chris Boswell having to kick because he's been so bad.
And what's the one thing that didn't happen?
Didn't even force him.
Didn't even
make him kick a PAT. He had two 20-yard kicks to put him in. So, look, I don't know. It was sort of we're reading the tea leaves here of possibly, I think there was frustration amongst players about that call, and maybe about some of the other things that had happened there. I don't know. Did you sense any of that? I felt some of that.
It seemed like...
No one was going to say it, but...
No one was going to say it. There were a lot of questions. Apparently some players coming off the field, and we can't be on the field after the game. Some players had said some things that made some questions be asked later if there was confusion. But Dre and Carlos both said that there was no confusion. They got the play call.
Yeah, and the way Carlos said it was kind of where I was like, it made my ears perk up. He said, oh, there was no confusion. We ran the play
right.
as it was called, and that's what was called. Sort of pointing out, like,
right.
we ran
they executed
that thing that you wanted us to do.
Right.
And if you're a pass rusher and you've been making some big plays and helping win games, I think you're saying, why can't we go out there and
right.
just rush? Why can't we go rush? Why aren't we good enough to
on
be scoping rush?
On a down where you know they're going to be passing.
Right. I mean, so I think that's where the frustration – but we land in the same place here.
Hey, nothing like a trip to Kansas City, undefeated, prime time Sunday night, Arrowhead
yeah.
Stadium.
And as we record this now, they're going to kick off against New England tonight. Right. They could still be riding even higher now. I mean, who knows what we'll see with them tonight. But regardless – I do take some optimism that I thought they made a lot of winning plays.
Yeah.
And they did not wilt despite, I mean, look, the defense was so thin. I mean, you had McCray and Darius Phillips out there having to make plays.
And Darius Phillips.
Hey, shout out. Shout out. Fifth round draft pick Darius Phillips forced a fumble basically and had another nice tackle on what could have been a big, big gainer. So. But, you know, every single member of the defensive backfield was hurt at one point in time or another. William Jackson could hardly go. Drake or Patrick's down on the knee every third play. Nick Vigil out. Darquez Dennard out. Vigil's looked serious. He was in a brace and crutches afterwards, and he was immediately declared out. He tried to come off the field and couldn't even do that. Darquez Dennard was in a sling, you know, in his shoulder. Sean Williams, concussion. I mean, it was walking wounded out there. And they were the ones that had to try to make the plays, and you know they couldn't. I think all that caught up to them a little bit for sure on that last drive too. And you go back. I'm gonna keep going. Go back to you drive to the 40, the first drive of the third quarter, and opt for a 28-yard punt on 4th and 1. You know, and this was as these injuries had started to pile up on defense. You knew you were getting thin on defense. Let your offense make you plays. Especially Roethlisberger, what are the odds he's going to drive the field anyway? Regardless, right? Those numbers are out there. It's a low percentage play to punt there. What you can get out of converting is too important. And you put it, you know, you're trying to play this field position in your defense's hands. Well, Roethlisberger goes the length of the field. They ended up kicking a field goal. You know, that's again, you can question some of the calls. And that's what comes with these close games. People
right.
are gonna question calls. But those are two huge ones that could have changed things.
Yeah, I certainly think that they were risk averse when they didn't need to be there and too aggressive at the end.
Yeah. You gotta find that middle ground.
That's right.
Hey, and it's easy for us to say as we sit back and watch in hindsight, oh yeah, they screwed it up.
Yeah.
Screwed it up.
Well, now we've got to change the intro to the BBP.
Do we have to change it?
I know it's because now forever.
You were right. And so now I have to like cut a whole new intro. So tomorrow or Tuesday, when it posts on Tuesday, we'll have a new intro. We won't be using the voicemail of your name, which I liked.
I liked too.
Even though I liked it, but you're legit now. You're officially legit now. You earned it by doing what I knew was right, but I refused to go with my gut because I'm a fish.
And forever, when people hear that intro, they will think of Antonio Brown sprinting
into the wild blue yonder off and doing that ridiculous whatever that move is that he does when he scores a touchdown and Bengals are sad. All right, lots to go through, Lewis, this week, so we'll get that up for you very soon. We will have Marv tomorrow. That'll be fun.
I'm really looking to this is my first Bengals Steelers, and that will be my first post Bengals Steelers Marv.
Yeah, which is a fun, really fun thing. So, and we'll be trying to get you injury updates as soon as we can on some of this stuff as it starts to pile up. You don't want your defense to be banged to bits when you go to see Pat Mahomes, but this is where we are. So keep that locked, Cincinnati.com. BTS this week, Jesse Bates is going to be our guest. So
that'll
check that out. Yeah, Jesse's been great. You had a great story on him this week. And what else? We got the BBP coming on Tuesday. Yeah, so it's going to be a full week of everything as we lead up to head to Kansas City. And I'm going to eat lots of barbecue, get fat. That's the plan. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening to The Walkout. We'll talk to you next week.